Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. Yeah, cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Ah, let's freaking go. Let's freaking go. And let me actually start off by saying this. Got to be a real, real hardcore listener of the show to understand this reference. If you're not, that's okay. I'll explain it in just a second. But Dibs, Big Mac, Big Mac.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
Sure.
No, there's only one practice this week. Brock did not participate or is not participating. Neither is Ricky Pearsall. Neither is Juwan Jennings. The Niners sound like they are marching into L.A., a home game, on Thursday night. Severely limited, and probably another game for Mac Jones with another patchwork receiving core in a huge football game. It's unfortunate, but here we go.
Yep, it's a short week, and every time you go into that short week, you know that you're going to be without a certain amount of what you want to go forward with, but if you're going to be without your starting quarterback, who I'm being told is going to make a lot of money pretty soon, and you're without wide receiver two, who's become wide receiver one because your one is out, and your wide receiver two, who has become normally your three, but he's your two, and he might be out. So you're looking at possibly Mac Jones, Sky Moore, DeMarcus Robinson, and
Kendrick Bourne.
Oh, woo-hoo!
Yeah, I know. I still put him ahead of Sky Moore.
Is Ronnie Bell available? He drops the ball less often than Kendrick Bourne.
What happened to them other them dudes that were flying around in the practice squad? Your Marquez Valdez Scantlings and your Russell Gages and to those guys still hanging around?
They might be
hanging
somewhere
around
and
hanging
also,
around.
Trent Taylor was a guy who was kind of.
I mean,
is Tariq Owens available to come out and run around and BTO? I mean, honestly, are we doing?
Yeah.
My point, though, is we are now 2 days and 3 hours away from kick, and that's kind of what we might be facing.
Maybe. Tonjes.
Yeah.
McCaffrey.
Farrell.
Yeah.
Hang on to that thing now.
Farrell, that's right. Squeeze the orange.
Yeah. Brayden Willis, who gets a couple snaps a game.
Brock Purdy just spoke. Do you want to hear what he had to say?
I'd love to.
This is Brock Purdy asked how he feels. Simple question. Hey, Brock, how you feeling?
No, I feel a lot better compared to the week one game for sure. Toes just a little sore from the game, but nowhere near as bad as after Seattle.
Okay, so compares it to week one, says that's not where we are. I know John Lynch has already publicly said, sort of insinuated, he's like, I don't think this is a big deal. I get the sense if this were a Sunday game, I think Brock's chances to play in it are pretty decent. It's the Thursday factor, obviously, that condenses this, makes it really, really hard. And I know where most people sound like they sit on this, which is that, right, if there's any pushing of it at all, don't do it. I don't really look at it that way. You and I have talked about this a lot over the last couple of weeks. This is a monster game. I think that they're worth a game and a half. They're division games. It's a big, big deal. I know people want to preserve players. I don't think that exists. I don't know how you preserve people in the NFL. Watch the games. Tyreek Hill may never play again. You can't preserve people. So I more look at it this way. There are doctors who are paid a lot of money to do this. If they clear him, I'd play him. That's it. If they clear him, I'd play him. If he can function and they clear him, I'd play him. I don't know that they're going to do that. The fact that there's no practice this week for him suggests probably not, but that's the way I look at it. It's a monster game. Would love to have it.
Yeah, it's monster, and the game a week from Sunday is maybe a little less monster because it's not a divisional game, but I would actually go the other direction and say, look, we're already 2-0 in the division.
Yep.
If I can have Brock for sure, quote-unquote, for sure, much more likely to play if he doesn't play Thursday. He'd be more likely to play in 10 days after Thursday than you're going to Tampa on the road. And that is not a monster game, but it's a big game because Tampa's a good team, and every game counts for a win or a loss, and you're already 2-0 in the division. So you do have a little bit of a buffer in terms of divisional tiebreakers and all the rest of that. So for me, if it is at all in doubt, and Mac Jones is not on the injury report, as far as I know.
He is not. Yeah.
Then
yeah,
you play Mac.
Full participation.
And you feel like, you know, Mac can get you in a spot to where you could still win that game with Mac Jones.
Yeah, of course.
Unbeaten as a Niner. Yeah.
This is true. Yeah.
That's a stat.
No, you're allowed to go play and win the game. That's a fact. By the way, speaking of win the games, quick palate cleanser. Did you go 2-0 again last night?
Who, me? Me?
Are you 16-3 this year?
That's what I'm told. 16-3, brother.
Can we all? I just take 11 seconds.
Okay.
16-3.
That sounds like it's pretty good.
Jesus, dude.
Hot. Beyond hot.
What the hell's the matter with you?
Hot. Like so hot that I'm concerned about the fire alarms in this room. We might have the sprinklers get activated.
Are you doing anything differently? You eating something? Are you working out? Are you waking up at a different time? What are you doing that you need to keep doing?
I'm doing deep dives. I'm doing a lot of advanced analytics, and I'm looking at rest advantage, disadvantage, and I'm looking at, you know, home road situations. Last night was a little, I'm not going to say it was easy because it's never easy, but Cincinnati is an absolute hot mess.
Yeah.
Denver at home.
Trey Hendrickson, get him.
Denver motivated.
Bring him to me.
I thought Denver, like, motivated to stay in the mix. Yeah. The other one, Miami Jets, a little bit of a coin flip, and so I leaned on the home team. And turns out the Jets are even worse than I thought.
Dude, blazing hot.
I hate to see it because my old neighbor's on the coaching staff, and you don't ever want to see a coach get fired anywhere, but Aaron Glenn, first year.
Well,
I'm not going to say he's going to be one and done, but if you go 0-17, all bets are off the table.
Your 20th pick will be the Niner-Ram game on Thursday. So we're already looking forward to that. Dibs, ladies and gentlemen, if you see him, shake his hand. He is 16-3, but wear a glove because he's hot. All right, more Purdy. Brock actually said this is not out of the realm of what he thought was going to happen after he played.
Something that we talked about, playing might, you know, lead to some soreness and stuff. So sort of expected it, but, you know, with the quick turnaround, Thursday night game and everything, it's tougher. I don't have as many days to, you know, get right and heal up and feel better. So just where we're at.
Okay, that's where we're at. And then he was asked, would it have been better if, you know, like you didn't do that? How about if you didn't play against the Jaguars? And then instead targeted this one.
I was ready to go. You know, I felt pretty good. And, you know, for me to go out and execute an offense and go through reads and throw the ball, like throughout the week of practice, I felt great. And so I had a lot of confidence going into the game thinking that was going to be good. So that was our decision and we're rolling with it.
Okay. Yeah. That, and I think that that's been trumpeted all across the organization where it was almost kind of like, I get the idea of now he's sore. And so people will say you rushed him back. And the Niners' response to that was, Dude, like, I didn't feel anything. Why the hell would you sit if you're like, I'm not in pain. I'm not in pain. I get that. But game speed is a different deal. People are touching you. They don't touch you in practice when you're the quarterback. So I don't know. You know what I mean? Do people want to rip the Niners for putting him in there last week? I think that's silly because don't forget Mac was hurt too. He was actually on the injury report. So I think they went with their healthier quarterback. Here we are. Don't know who they're going to go with this week. And whoever it is going to have a skeleton crew around him. And so it's going to be really, really hard. Really hard, no matter who it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Mac or Brock.
Even a healthy Brock, yep. It would be really, really hard.
For
because
sure.
The Rams defense is very good up front, especially physical. And you're going to be on a short week. So even if Brock didn't have the toe issue, I would look at the Ram game. And I told you this when the schedule came out. And I looked at games that might be, quote, scheduled losses. I look at this game. I look at a trip to Tampa, which is not going to be easy. Nope. Tampa's really good. And I look at Cleveland before the bye. And I also looked at Seattle in the opener, but they were able to get that one. So this one was always going to be tough, even though it's Levi South and the crowd won't be a big factor. It's a short week against a very good defense and a quarterback who, I don't know what he's doing with his back, but his back is fine. I heard him this morning on Pat McAfee, and he was talking about how, yeah, in the preseason I had a little bit of a back thing, but you know now I'm feeling great, and he sure looks good.
Yeah,
and he is just... That ball comes out quick, so...
Yeah, if you don't... Like, listen, we've all watched this. We've seen this movie before.
He's accurate.
If you do not rush Matt Stafford, he gonna eat you up.
You'll be the Thanksgiving turkey. He'll be the electric knife.
So, Salah's gonna have to come up with something because he's also really good against the blitz. So, don't make it as simple as just like, well, just send Fred... Get Fred going. Send Fred. Oof, he's really good. This is a veteran... with a rocket arm, really smart, has seen it all, knows the Niners by now. So this is a hell of a challenge, no matter who plays. So we'll see. Like, I don't really have a strong opinion outside of, like, what do the Niners doctors think? And if he can play, I'd play him. And I hear you if you disagree, but...
I disagree.
I know, but you know me. Like, I'm just not getting into how guys' bodies feel because I have no idea. We're not doctors. We're not experts. We're not there. I don't think the Niners are so stupid that they're going to put Brock in harm's way for the season.
Yep.
I don't think they're going to do that.
They won't.
They're not dumb.
Matt Maiocco had this on Twitter about a half an hour ago. Could Brock Purdy play if the Niners played tonight? He answered, tonight? No. But I have 2 days. So.
But I looked at my watch, and we don't play tonight.
I got 2 days.
Yeah.
So there's that. And, you know, ultimately, it won't be a decision made by, oh, boy, will Brock get hurt again? You're right. If Brock is cleared to play, he plays. I just would love to see him chill for an extra 10 days and let that toe quiet all the way down.
Look, I get that. I really do. Like, we're sitting here on Tuesday afternoon, and if he's saying he couldn't play if the game were right now, and the game is in 50 hours, 51 hours, and you only get one practice, and he didn't participate in it, it feels like he's probably going to sit. However, there's one more from Purdy. Check it out. This is an interesting one. Hey, Brock, you know all those overthrows on Sunday? Was that the toe? Was that because you couldn't plant?
Still, I don't really know. I missed the throws on film and everything, but is it something that had to do with my toe and whatnot? I couldn't tell you at this point. You know, like, I'm still trying to get better and feel good with my toe and everything, but I think down the road after I feel 100% and good to go, you know, start throwing the ball, maybe I can come back and answer that question. But right now, I still don't know.
Okay, I'd like to give a shot at translating that. Let me see what you think. Yes. But I
still don't know.
No, yes. That means the answer's yes, but I don't want to say that into a microphone because that's soft.
Right.
We don't do that in pro sports where we come out in week five and tell everybody that my toe hurt, so that's why I missed my throws. Like that won't play. But he also didn't say no, which tells me he thinks the answer's yes.
Right. And also, you don't want to let the Rams know that, yeah, it's the toe, because if I'm a Rams defensive lineman, I'm not going to rough the quarterback, but I might try and stomp a foot for sure.
Absolutely.
If he's out there.
Of course, they're football players.
Right.
Of course. All right. 888-957-9570. Stink joins us in a half hour. I don't get it. Why are we all talking about the contract? Like, stand up and be counted. I don't mind. Dibs doesn't mind. If you didn't want him on the team to begin with, then just say it. But outside of that, why on earth would we be talking about the contract after he's played two football games and won one of them? I don't understand. Why are we talking about the contract? We'll take your calls right now. stinking 30. Dub Nation preseason right around the corner. 95.7 The Game is tipping things off in style. Pier 39's this Saturday. Warriors preseason special. You're not going to want to miss it. Live appearances from Festus Ezeli, Zaza, Kalena Azubuike, Tim Roy, and more. Plus your chance to win tickets to the first preseason game, Sunday, October 5. Warriors host LeBron and the Lakers. If that's not enough, say hi to our guys. Evan Giddings and Guru broadcasting live, noon to 4. Hoops, hype, season almost here, right here on 95.7 The Game. This is Willard and Dibs.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Joe Shasky from The Morning Roast, and you're listening to Willard and Dibs. And you know, as much as I love Willard, I'm more of a Dibs guy. So if you want to do what I do, go check in on Dibs and say hi to him. Get in the YouTube chat. Do it right now on 95.7 The Game.
16-3, I'm kind of more of a Dibs guy myself.
Oh, yeah.
Six and a hook.
I mean,
six and a hook Thursday night it is up to.
Yeah, it's a big number.
Niners are flirting with being a touchdown dog on Thursday night, which the latest bump, likely a reaction to what feels like today's news pushing us toward the idea of another Mac Jones start.
Yeah, or, you would figure. I think it's more than that. I think it's also
And Pearsall and Jennings.
That's what I think. And again, we talked to John Avello, who sets the number at DraftKings, and we talked about home field advantage and what it's worth, and we didn't get into the specifics of L.A., but I would guess that the L.A. Niner home field advantage is non-existent. I don't think that the Rams, they might get a point for being home against the Niners, but...
I wonder what their normal home bump is, and is it different when it's the Niners?
It's absolutely different, and you were talking about Vivid Seats during the break, where it's going to be more than 3/5 of every fan is going to be a Niner fan. We know that.
61-62% is the word online in terms of the number of tickets going to Niner fans for this game on Thursday
night. I do think that the line movement is part Brock Purdy, yes, but it's also no Pearsall, maybe no Jennings. We don't know as of now what the official report's going to be, but you talked yesterday about the Rams, and they had five guys on their injury list, and you might have heard of one of them. One of them is an offensive lineman, and beyond that, it's like
Tyler Higbee, tight end. No, the Rams are healthy, and the Rams are good.
Yep.
And the Rams are playing well, and they've beaten the Colts and the Eagles. They didn't beat the Eagles, but they kind of beat the Eagles. You know what I'm saying? They were right there, played great in Philadelphia for most of that game, and then they beat the Colts last week. These were really tight games, but yeah, the Rams are good. The Rams are going to be hard to beat. And the Niners are clearly not at their best, and whether that's just about the quarterback or not, it's not. So, I get it, but that number is flying in an upward direction. Right now, Rams, 6.5-point favorite. Couple more from Brock Purdy after what we already played for you earlier. This is about simply the Niners, and if it's Purdy or Matt, going up against the difficult Rams defensive line.
Very talented. Feel like they got some young guys, man, that are just playing passionate right now and are disruptive across the board. And their scheme as a whole is really good. And I feel like they're really comfortable playing with each other right now. And so as a whole, it's gonna be a great challenge for us. We got to have answers and not obviously hold on to the ball too long, get the ball out, be smart with it. And at the end of the day, like, understand we're playing against a really good pass rush and got to find ways to win still. So, but we respect them a lot.
Okay. And then they got back to his playing status and they pushed him a little bit on this idea of playing Thursday. He was asked if no practice today, if it's fair to then call him doubtful for Thursday.
Honestly, Thursday night football games are, you know, they come quick, so anything can happen, but I'm still hopeful that I can, so we'll see.
Sounds like a yes. anything can happen.
Right.
You know, that would suggest that, yeah, the heavy favorite is Mac Jones on Thursday night.
And you know there's no more doubtful. Right. So if there were a doubtful, he probably would be doubtful, I would guess. And so doubtful usually means outful. I don't know how, like, historically, the percentage of players who go from doubtful to in, it's about not 1 in 10, but yeah, maybe 1 in 25. It's very, very rare. And he only has two more days. And the toe is not great. And so I do think the prudent thing to do is to lay back and save Brock for Tampa Bay. Not that you can't win with a gimpy Brock in L.A. You can. Can you go forward with Mac Jones against L.A. on a short week? Well,
sure.
Yeah, and it's not a short week for Mac because he didn't play on Sunday.
That's a good point.
So when you talk about a short week, and if you don't have Pearsall or Jennings, and we don't know for sure, well, it's no longer a short week really for Sky Moore, who didn't play a ton, and you know, DeMarcus Robinson in a homecoming game, he didn't play a ton. And the one guy I'm looking for, and we'll get into this with Greg Cosell a little bit, although he doesn't like to talk about anything other than the film,
yep,
but 10 snaps for Brian Robinson. So if you don't have Pearsall and you don't have Jennings, unofficial, but if that's the way it goes, then if I'm Kyle Shanahan, I look at Christian McCaffrey and say, guess what? You are now Julian Edelman. You're going to go play the slot a bunch. And
I mean, he has been already anyway.
Right, the majority of his touches. And I did a deep dive on his week four touches, and we can get into it as we continue to go through the tape on the loss to Jacksonville. But you're right, Mark. Again, as many targets almost as carries, and why not have Brian Robinson Jr. out there? Go double Robinson's out there.
I mean, we have not seen as much of it as I thought we would. So, yeah, I'm with you. Hey, a couple from Kyle Shanahan. First, this was a little back and forth here about the decision to play Brock.
Will the decision to play Brock come down to pain tolerance?
No, it'll come down to, do we feel he could play and to 100% of his ability, and do we feel that he can protect himself with it?
Okay, so that's Shanahan on what will kind of lead the decision there. And then he was also asked if Purdy was told last Sunday to not scramble.
No, he wasn't told that. You know, they said, you know, it was my first time dealing with people with a toe injury like that. I was trying to ask if it was like a high ankle sprain, like, is it something you just keep zinging over and over? They said, no, it's not like that. If you ever got caught in an awkward position on a tackle, it's where you could hurt your toe again. But it doesn't work like an ankle or anything like that. And I think they got him on that when they took him down. So whether it's scrambling or just getting tackled was kind of the worry of it.
Okay, so not told to not scramble, but he might have been hesitant. Who knows? No idea what he was feeling during the game. He didn't report anything until after the game. And then one more from Brock, and I think this is kind of what a lot of people are saying. Look, if you skip this one, you get that mini bye. So are you motivated by the fact that if you take one more game off, you get a full week and a half before you play again?
100%. If I can play this game, I'm going to play. And obviously, you know, I want to get right and get healthy and everything, but we need to win this game against the Rams. So that's how I'm looking at it.
Okay. And see, that's kind of where I am. I that's the way my brain works on this. The idea of preserving people for later, I think, is a projection that we can't count on. I get where you're coming from. I really do. I don't think Brock is going to play on Thursday.
Right.
I think it's unlikely, but I'd still be open to it, even knowing what we know. If the doctors clear him, if they feel like he can play well, if he can do his job, he's the starting quarterback of the Niners, and it's a huge game, and I'd play him.
Yeah.
That's all.
I understand that, but, I mean, it's a huge game, but let's just say that he either plays or doesn't play, and you lose. Well, now the Tampa Bay game is equally huge, because if you lose that, now you're 3-3, and now that great 3-0 start and 2-0 in the division. Well, now you'd be 2-1 in the division, and you would be what, 3-2 in the conference, which is also a tiebreaker as you get further down the road. So a loss to the Rams, no matter whether or not he plays or he sits, that makes the Tampa Bay game even bigger. Now, if you beat the Rams and he sits, well, the Tampa Bay game is no longer as big. You'd be 4-1. 3-0 in the division, sitting pretty. I mean, you wouldn't be sitting totally great.
Yeah,
but
they're all big.
They're all big, but the division games are bigger, and yep. I agree with Brock on that. But if you lose this one, Brock or no Brock, the Tampa Bay game becomes bigger in my eyes, because now you would be, you know, in a three-game losing streak, and if you lose that, now you're 3-3, and you're kind of stuck in a spot.
I get it. I always think that, like, there's one game on the schedule, and it's a huge game. the next one.
Yeah, and that's how they look at it.
Like,
sure.
I don't know that sitting or playing. By the way, if you play Thursday, you also still get a week and a half off in order to get ready for Tampa Bay. I understand that it could hurt more, but it might not hurt more.
But if you don't play, then you end up getting 2 weeks off.
Right. I understand that. And like, he got 3 weeks off last time and thought he was 100% and then went out and it started hurting again. So he could get 2 weeks off this time and the exact same thing could happen at Tampa Bay in a week and a half. So 888-957-9570, the conversation that we've been getting in around all of this commentary from Brock and from Kyle Shanahan. I have the hardest time understanding why this is suddenly all about money for everybody. I don't even think you can make the point that that has affected anything. The Niners have told us that it will, but like you point this out constantly, the contract has not taken effect yet.
Right.
They've planned for it for years. So he was their guy before they signed the deal. He's still their guy now. This whole idea of once you sign a contract, now you're Superman, you're supposed to carry a team by yourself. The last show was calling them carriers. I'm with you. I don't think that exists. I think that that's just kind of the movie script writer in all of our heads. We want this to be super romantic. Oh, you're 55. Go out there and do your thing, man, and carry us. Like, that's not football. It's not the way it works. And if after one loss, you want to make this about the contract, no issues here. Just want you to admit you didn't want Brock on the team in the first place. That's my take.
Yeah.
If you're already there, you didn't want him. You thought this was a terrible contract the second it was signed. And a lot of people did.
Right.
So if you feel that way, feel that way. But I like, just know that about yourself. You didn't want him.
Right.
If you're already there, you didn't want him.
And if you feel that way, know that he's making less than Trent Williams, Fred Warner, and I dare you to try and come up with a third player who's making more this year on a cap hit than Brock Purdy.
Oh, I could give you
27 guesses and you won't get it.
Oh, wait. Well, no, there are others. Christian McCaffrey is.
No, he's making 8.369 on the cap.
Oh, on the cap.
Cap
okay.
hit. There's one more player whose cap hit is greater than Brock Purdy.
Who were the ones you already mentioned?
Trent, 21.1. Yeah. Fred, 16.1. And I guess if you went to...
Not George?
George, I guess he's hurt, so he's not... Nick and George, yes,
Nick
but they're
and George,
hurt.
Sure.
So there's one more who's not hurt.
One more.
Making more than Brock Purdy on a cap hit basis.
Oh, my God. Let me just... I'm scanning.
So, yeah, Nick and George for sure.
Scanning
my
the
bad,
roster.
But they're on no, the no. injured reserve cap.
All good. I'll.
They're not listed on the active cap because they're not active.
Boy, and you've already said, like, I won't get it with a million guesses. So
right.
Now I'm, like, looking for these diamond in the rough types.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
And it's one
not
more player
Christian.
Who's made. I'm just going to say, because it's obviously a weird one, I'm going to say Huff.
It close.
Okay.
The answer is Yetur Gross-Matos.
No way.
Making 9.473 on the cap. So
good for Yetur.
All you people who are Brock Purdy making 53 million people, yes, go ahead and put a pin in that until next year when he's making 53, and then we can look at the roster and say, well, they should have A, B, C, D, and E, and then we can all talk about the Trey Lance deal gone wrong because those guys would be here and those guys would be, you know, mainstays, and they're not. And so, Kyle and John, you've got to go. We can all have those conversations
right
then. But right now, for me, the conversation is more about, is Brock going to be better than he was last week?
Let's go to Dave in Fresno. Hi, Dave. Appreciate your phone call, man. What's up?
Yeah. You know, I was going to, you know, ask you about that tweet, but you kind of explained it. But it, to me, it's not about the money.
Well, Dave, can you explain the tweet? Like, are you talking about what I tweeted?
Yeah, what you
yeah.
tweeted.
Tell everybody. Tell
debating.
Yeah, tell everybody what I tweeted.
You say if you're debating Brock Purdy's contract, two games after he signed it, one of which he won, you didn't want him in the first place.
Correct. Oh. Correct.
Then that's fine. And to me, it's not about the money. Like I said, he's played 38 career games, so. You know, sample size pretty big, you know. So in the last 19 games, so half of his career games, he has 26 TDs and 20 INTs.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good. That's not good. So, and my issue with the whole Brock conversation is it's always an excuse when it's not looking good. It's Kittle's not there, or Trent's not Trent anymore, or CMC's lost a step, or we lost Bosa, or it's always something. But when things are humming and everybody's there, everybody's healthy, he's the best quarterback ever. You know what I don't hear? I don't hear this in Tampa Bay. They're missing Tristan Wirth, their best player. You don't hear a peep. You're missing Godwin. You're missing Mike. It's like
Godwin.
At the end of the day, what they're going to look at is Baker Mayfield. They're going to look at Baker Mayfield. Did you win and how did you play? With Brock, there's always a caveat of, well, his foot hurt, or the grass was too hot that day, or, you know, he'll get better, or the play calling, or it's always something.
All right, Dave, I get the voices that you hear, but let me ask you something. I'd love to challenge you a little bit. Let's talk about all the other players on the 49ers. Let's talk about them, because that stretch of games you're talking about, for the most part, I know this year's been kind of odd and they're off to a 3-1 start, even though they're not playing great football. But for the most part, that stretch of games that you're talking about, the 49ers have been a bad team. Agree?
No, not entirely. But if you let me explain.
Sure, go ahead.
I think last year, okay, you didn't have McCaffrey. A lot of the stuff we knew going into the season, you didn't have Greenlaw, and then you had injuries during the season, Ayuk. I thought they had a good enough roster to compete at a higher level than they did. Okay, I think the injuries kind of get overblown a little bit, because some of the injuries you can kind of see coming in Trent, Kittle, McCaffrey, you know, some of those things, they've been injured pretty much throughout their whole career. So a lot of that is them just not having good enough depth. But, yeah, were they as good as 2023? No, to answer your question, they were not.
Okay, like when you look at last year's 49ers team, who do you think was like where you would point your finger as maybe what the problem is? Like what if I just made it broad, the offense or the defense?
Offense. We have an offensive coach. The offense has not looked good in a very long time.
I don't have them in front of me, Dibs. You always do. DVOA, Niners offense last year versus Niners defense last year.
I just have the points for. Okay. They were 13th out of 32. Points against, they were 29th out of 32.
Dave, like, again, you've got your take. I've got mine. The Niners sucked on defense last year. One of the worst run defenses I've seen in recent times, certainly in the Kyle Shanahan era. What does that have to do with Brock? Maybe nothing, maybe something. My point is do you notice how you're only focusing on what happens to Brock when everything around him is or is not in good shape? Couldn't I do that with all of the players? Like, why don't we talk about Bryce Huff for a second? And Dave, thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. Like, how did the defensive line perform when their best player wasn't there? Nick Bosa's not there, and all of a sudden, for the first time in 10 years, they never even breathe on the quarterback.
Yeah, that's fair.
No quarterback hits, no quarterback sacks. So this idea that we're not allowing a trickle-down effect for the quarterback simply because he's famous and makes a lot of money, I think is silly. This is true for every team, every player, all the time.
He made the Baker Mayfield comp, and he didn't have Mike Evans last week. And, well, they lost.
They lost.
To Philadelphia,
right.
A team that racked up 180 yards of total offense.
And they did have Godwin, and they have a first-round receiver who might win Rookie of the Year, by the way. He's incredible.
He is. And, you know, Baker was 22 of 40, and he threw a pick, and they lost that game. So we can cherry-pick whatever we want, and this is kind of where I take a little issue with my guy Matt Steinmetz, where we draw a line from the Baltimore game right before Baltimore where he was awful, and then we look at the numbers from there going forward. And last year, you and I have talked about it, and I think
this guy is such a deal.
I think Brock was worse than you think, but either way, you look at how he played and how they did. They went 6-11. The offense was mediocre. The defense was bad. The special teams got a guy fired.
Yep,
so
there you go.
It is complimentary football. And this year, the one thing I do want everyone to remember, they're 3-1, and they're 3-1 when they can't run the ball. You've had a backup quarterback win two games. You had to fire a kicker. Your special teams are still not good. And Your red zone offense is among the bottom five in football.
And you're the only team that hasn't rushed for a touchdown.
All these things, if you want to look at all these factors and then go, it's Brock. Okay, Brock's played in 2 of 4. It's the O-line. It is...
the everything.
It's the everything. It's literally everything. It's the injuries. And it's a lot of things.
And the fan base sounds like they're 0-4. We really do.
Right.
I want, like, if you just take a view from 10,000 feet and listen to all the media and look at everything online, it really does sound like the Niners are 0-4 and they're 3-1. I get
there are only two teams with a better record than them in all of football.
The Eagles and Bills.
Right. Yeah. So you're tied for third in best record in the league, and yet we all want Brock's contract ripped up. Some want Shanahan run out of here. Some want McCaffrey either bubble wrapped or used more. Folks, you're 3-1. Like, can we all have some perspective? I get it.
I get the concern, sure. But yes, they're 3-1, which is a miracle. Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. This is somebody agreeing with Dave in Fresno. And here's, I'd like to rebut this. 415 says, I completely agree with Brock. It's always a caveat. Here's what I'd say to anybody who feels that way today. I would argue that it's actually what you're choosing to listen to. Whenever there's a Niner loss, you want to only make it about the quarterback. A lot of you won't hear anything else because he makes $53 million, which he doesn't even do yet. But because he makes $53 million, that's what I feel a lot of you are very hard hit.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Headed. It's very black and white thinking. The Niners lost, Brock Purdy. That's all you want to hear. And if anybody brings up anything else, no matter how much data or fact is behind it, as you just pointed out, Dibs, a special teams that got somebody fired, a defense 29th in DVOA, a run defense that was absolutely melted butter. Like all of these things, if you bring them up, A lot of you believe it's a caveat or an excuse. No, these are things that are actually happening. Brock was terrible on Sunday. Who wouldn't say that? But if you want to only look at that, well, then you're obviously missing a ton of crap that happened in that game. Again, more special teams gaffes. Yeah, I had someone hit me on Twitter. This is a great example of it. Someone hits me on Twitter after the game. He goes, how are you going to excuse Brock? He had 4 turnovers. And I went, perfect. See, you just assessed, you affixed every turnover to Brock.
Right.
One of them was a completed pass to his tight end who dropped the ball. And you don't want to allow for all the receivers who dropped all the balls. You don't want to allow for Travis Etienne taking off down the left sideline. You don't want to allow for special teams that played horrible.
Yeah, kick return
again
for 86 yards.
You don't want to allow for that. So there's got to be a middle ground. These aren't caveats. These are things that are happening. And the Niners last year were not a very good football team. Brock was not as good as he was in years past. That's obvious. He also wasn't bad. He wasn't bad. He wasn't as good. He wasn't bad. And so far this year, he's 1-1.
Yeah. And he actually, the team is 1-1, and he's also 1-1. And I just was thinking about this as you were going through that. And I'm not a Brock defender or a Brock apologist, but if you want to look at Sunday and give Brock the loss, I'm here for that because he was bad. Other things were bad, but you're the quarterback and you can't be that bad. Brock takes the L, but then you have to go to the opener, and I think it's only fair to give Brock the W where they get the ball back with 3.5 minutes to go, down by 3, and he's at his own 32, and they go down and they score a touchdown and they win the game. And he was the quarterback, And you can think what you want to think about the Tonjes throw, the lob ball to no one. I happen to think that it was a 50-50 ball, and the Niners made the play, but Brock gets as much credit for that as he does blame for the interception he threw to McCaffrey, which I thought was a bad throw. This also was probably a bad throw, but it's process versus results, and I'm a results guy, and the result was touchdown, winner. So if you want to look at Brock on Sunday and say, you lost that game, okay, I kind of agree, but you also have to look at week one and say, Brock, you won that game.
Sure.
I do.
Those are the rules. You just have to pick which rule you want to follow.
Sure.
I respect that. If you want to pin Sunday on him, fine. But then, yes, credit him for week one. Or, for example, if you want to say, I hate the contract, but you said it in May, great. You hate the contract.
You may be right.
You might be right. And I might be wrong. And those of us who are on the side of I like the contract and I like the player, we might be wrong. And time is going to tell on that. But those of you who celebrated it in May and then are participating in a discussion about it today, those are the ones I don't get. I don't get you. I don't. Like, who on earth signs a 5-year long-term agreement and starts wanting to go about face after one loss?
That would be a small sample size Sam is who that is.
I thought schedule Sam. Oh,
this would be
sample
Steve.
Sample size is Steve.
I apologize.
Steve is the one.
I didn't see the name tag. Small sample size right. Steve.
Hey, Stink is going to hop in here. Don't forget, everybody, Mongo's joining us in 2 hours.
If he shows up.
John Feliciano, he wants a piece of Dibs. Dibs wants a piece of him. There's a lot more of him than Dibs. I don't know how we handicapped that, but whatever.
I'm going to DM him right now and you just should. Make sure that he's revved up.
That's happening at 5 o'clock. And then we didn't talk about we got some Boach next hour.
Steph, and where do all roads lead?
Well, Kuminga.
Thank you.
Yeah, Steph. Steph is, he's ticked.
He doesn't do ticked.
I think he does, but that's all still ahead. I'm glad you're with us. Let's have some fun, all right? We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Willard and Dibs.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.